'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse.
In my mind, I want you to be free.
Oh,
for this land.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
to all of you.
And we mean it now.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
to all of you.
Merry Christmas from the Temptations.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Warner Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
All righty, clear my throat here. Okay. Okay, all right. All right, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago. It's a great city, folks. Don't believe everything you hear on the national news or around the world. It's just a great city. We have our problems just like everybody else. We have politicians we wish we can get rid of. But this is a great city. It's a great town. It's a great place to be. It is 6:07 straight up Chicago time. It is as we move into the holiday season. So happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, happy holidays and all that kind of stuff. And keep yourself safe because the bad guys are out there when you're riding the trains and stuff like that. The bad guys are, I mean, they're everywhere. They're not just Chicago, they're Detroit, Los Angeles. I mean, you name it, New York, the bad guys are out there. They're trying to get what they think that you might have of value. You can always follow this show on Facebook, Block Talk Radio right here. Follow me right here. Just click follow. And we're on LinkedIn, all over the place, actually. Google. So, you know, if you're trying to get in touch with me, or if you want to get in touch with the show, or you have a beef or gripe or accolades that you want to bestow upon the show or myself or whatever, I'm not that hard to find. You know, I'm not that hard to find. You are with the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. And folks, I'm hearing it's going to be a cold one. We are in for a cold blast. I mean, not just Chicago, but I think the majority part of the United States, we are in for a cold blast. So, hey, if you're out there, you have to be out there. Keep warm, bundle up. Hopefully you've had your flu shot. I've had mine. And it's cold. the thing is, some people are surprised how cold it is and how cold it's going to get. They're very surprised. I mean, they have had a great summer. They've had a great summer. And fall has been, you know, mild. And now December, it's cold as hell. And they just can't seem to adjust to that. You know, one thing I try to tell them is that, hey, wow, this is December. What do you expect? It's December. You know, people have gotten spoiled to good weather. And this is it. And it's going to be a cold ass. So cover yourself up. Be careful. You know, like I said, if you haven't got your flu shot, go out and get your flu shot. And, you know, do what you have to do to keep yourself warm because it's cold as hell. I mean, we were out there earlier and we damn near froze our asses off. So, but you know what? There are so many people, and I've said this before, I have even written about this. People just do not dress for this cold weather. It surprises me every year when the cold is blasting and the cold is biting, they don't dress properly for the cold weather. And I've said this before on the show. It's just mind-boggling to how people do not put on the proper layer of clothes when they go out in 20 single-digit temperatures, snow, blizzards. They do not put on the proper clothes. You'll see some people dressed appropriately, but there are those who do not. And basically, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, basically, it's young girls and women who do not dress properly for this weather. And I'm also going to go out on a limb and say sometimes it's older people too. You know, I've seen seniors walking around out there with nothing on their heads and ears, thinking they're cute or they're 17. You know, it's so many reasons to why people do not dress properly. I've heard it, well, it messes up my hair. So you're going to freeze your ass off because you don't want to muss up your hair. Oh, well, I look good. I look cute. I don't want to hide my looks. I've heard these kinds of reasons from people who will not dress properly. But if you don't dress properly for the cold weather, all these reasons, those reasons that you're giving for not dressing properly is total BS. Because once you are sick, the flu or some other ailment because of you didn't dress properly, you're going to take that ailment, that sickness on the L train with you, on the wherever you're going, you're going to take it. If you're around people, you're going to spread that disease or that sickness around to your colleagues in the office or wherever you may be working or in the classroom. Because why would they suffer by being sick because you refuse to dress properly and you gotten sick and now you're going to work, you're going to school, and all of this is being spread around and making other people sick? But you know what? Some people are just stupid. The be point and blank. I mean, anytime you walking out here thinking you cute and think you're going to, and that you don't want to hide, and men have they do the same thing, folks. Young men, they think they're Clark Gable and Marlon Brando or somebody thinking they're cute and fine and they don't want to cover up either. I mean, I've seen women, young girls out here freezing their total ass off wearing leggings in single digit weather, wearing leggings, pretending like they're not freezing their little asses off, you know. So basically the bottom line is keep yourself well dressed for the weather. Take off the leggings. If you're going to put them things on, you know, they will be good for undergarments or something like that. Thick undergarments. Most of them things are thin as. All righty. You listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I'm all about trying to make the world a better place, even by saying to people, dress properly for this type of weather. Stop. Because if you think you're going out here and you don't want to cover because you think you're looking cute, if you get sick and die, then what? Because the flu can kill you. This weather can kill you. If you don't properly take, you know, dress properly for it and take this weather seriously, you know, you had all summer and spring and fall to look cute. Now, when it comes to the weather, dress up. And I'm talking to older people, too, because they do it, too. I've seen older people go out here, nothing on their heads and coat wide open. And as the wind blasting up and down the avenue, you know, so. Take care of yourself. You know, I mean, you have plenty of time to look good. I mean, summer's coming, spring's coming, but in the wintertime, cover up, keep yourself warm, keep yourself safe, keep yourself from getting a devastating sickness that may just take your life. All right, you've been listening to George Wilder Jr. Show. Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting live out of Chicago. We will be right back, folks. Stay with me. We got that? Okay, there we go. Hey, happy holidays and all that stuff that's coming up, folks. And just like any other time to stay safe, holidays is also the time to stay safe. And when I say stay safe, I mean watch your back, watch your surroundings. All kind of bad guys are going to be out there, as I mentioned earlier, to try to, you know, take whatever they think you may have. A lot of us don't have anything, but, you know, bad guys don't know that. We're going to talk about some issues in Chicago. Parents protest CPS changes in special education funding. I mean, anytime there's a change in any kind of funding in the state of Illinois, it just means that it's going to be cut. So that's the bottom line. It's going to be cut, and parents are upended on special education funding. And it's all due to our governor, Bruce Rauner, and, special ed students are abundant in the Chicago public school system, and they want to take money away from them. These people don't care about your kid or my kid. The only person that should be caring about your children is you, the parent. We can try to do what we can to better our kids' life, especially special education and kids with disabilities, students with disabilities. But you can't, it's just becoming a little loony to depend on the government anymore for anything. Republicans are running everything. There's too many people out here with their hands out figuring they should get something because they don't have anything. That's out. You don't have it. If you don't have it and you're not trying to get it, then you can forget it. So parents protest changes in special education. I don't know if protesting is going to do anything anymore. A long time ago, if you protest about something you didn't like, you had a chance of making some changes. Right now, you can't change anything. These politicians are numb, and they close their eyes, their ears to any kind of protest. You're just out there just yelling and screaming and about something you do not like. Okay, let's see here. Skip there. Caroline, okay, they're out here. That's an uncomfortable situation CPS parents find themselves in after the change in how CPS handles special ed money. Okay, that's something we're going to have to get into later. You know, around the holidays, there's always bad news. I mean, everything just cannot be positive. Everything cannot be going the right way. There's always bad news. And bad news brings a sad Christmas or depressing Christmas for a lot of people because there's always bad news. You got people losing their homes, losing their apartments, losing their condos, losing the roof over their head on some of these holidays. Yeah, I mean, people be in bad shape. Things happen badly to some of these people during the holiday season. You know, than any other time in the year, things go bad, especially when it's cold the hell outside. Who wants to lose their home when it's cold outside? Who wants to lose their apartment or their condo when it's cold outside? It happens, folks. It happens. You just got to keep those people in your prayers, kind of. And sometimes that's all you have to offer is your prayer. But that's better than nothing. Okay? That's better than nothing. And the changes in funding. There's going to be changes in funding in every program there is, especially social program there is in the city of Chicago, because we have a governor who is making all of these changes through executive authority. Not through legislative movement, but through his own just signing something using an ink pen to just sign things into law. I wish Obama had done that, just used his ink pen to sign issues that he believed in into law without Republican intervention. But Rauner is not afraid to use his executive powers Obama appeared to have been. And I'm not the only one saying that, okay? But, yeah, we got some depressing news in the city of Chicago. I mean, if when you cutting money from programs like the special education program, that means that your child who is in, who may be in special ed in some of these schools are going to get, you know, they're not going to be taught as well. They're not going to learn as much. They're not going to get the services, the full services that they need for these kinds of things. So, you know, it's a mess. You know, the Republicans are cutting everything. I mean, they don't care. They don't give a damn. But one of the things about Bruce Rauner, the governor of Illinois, he wants to take over this. He wants to take over Illinois. He wants to destroy it. As he's destroying it, he's going to blame other people. And then once he destroys it, he's going to rebuild it the way he wants it done. And I don't think that's going to happen because the Democrats, even though they may have lost some seats in the legislature in Illinois, they still hold the majority. They still hold the House and the Senate in Illinois. So, you know, he has a ways to go. However, you know, there can be some Democrats who turn against Michael Madigan, who is a House Speaker, and go with Bruce Rauner. That has happened before, and those Democrats who have done that have paid the price. Ken Duncan, he's out. Oh, wow, he is out. That's one guy he wanted to see gone, and he's gone because he turned his back on the Democrats in Illinois to go with a Republican, the Republican Bruce Rauner. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And we will be, let's see if we can find something. All righty. Let's see if we can do this. We'll be right back, folks.
So you Democrats.
Farrakhan.
You've been in that party a long time. Answer me. What did you get? You got a president. He's worried about his legacy. Well, you want Hillary to get in to protect your legacy because Trump said the minute he get in, he's going to reverse the Affordable Care Act. Because that's your signature achievement. To show you how hateful the enemy is, he hates that you achieve. What you did achieve. So he said, I'm going to tear it up when I get in. So he don't want his legacy destroyed, Mr. President. Let the man do if he get in what he want. Because he's not destroying your legacy. If your legacy is bound up in an Affordable Care Act that only affects a few million people and they're trying to make it really difficult for those of us who signed up.
Yeah,
that's not
they're always trying
legacy.
To make it difficult.
But I just want to tell you, Mr. President, you from Chicago and so am I. I go out in the street with the people. I visited the worst neighborhoods. I talked to the gangs. And while I was out there talking to them, they said, you know, Farrakhan, the president ain't never come. Could you get him to come and look after us? There's your legacy, Mr. All right. President. It's in the street with your suffering people, Mr. President. And if you can't go and see about them, then don't worry about your legacy. Because the white people that you've served so well, they'll preserve your legacy. The hell they will. But you didn't earn your legacy with us. We put you there.
You fought for the rights of gay people. You fought for the rights of this people and that people. You fight for Israel. Your people are suffering and dying in the streets. That's where your legacy is. Now you failed to do what should have been done. But it's never too late. You, like Jimmy Carter, can be a better president after you leave the restrictions of your White House and come on back to the hood and start organizing like you did. And with your influence all over the world, let's make a new and better people. And from us, if it's Allah's will, we can make a new and better America. Thank you for listening, and may Allah bless you as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
All right. Mayor Rahm Emanuel had a talk with Donald Trump. I mean, everybody's talking to Donald Trump. Donald Trump probably forgot a lot of people that he's spoken to since becoming president-elect, if I can say it properly, excuse me. Rahm Emanuel, basically, from my understanding, what he was talking about was the dreamers, the kids who came to America, brought here by their parents from Mexico, and they are illegals because they were not born here, and they are dreamers because they are, I assume, dreaming about the American dream in the United States. They're trying to say, well, don't blame us. Our parents brought us here. And Donald Trump, you know, before he was elected, sworn that he was going to deport all of them. And Rahm Emanuel is pleading with them and begging with them not to deport them. He's pleading and begging with them not to cut the funding for those who are in sanctuary. And so because Donald Trump said he was going to do those things. And that's one of the reasons why he got elected, because his supporters, they want this. But I have a feeling, folks, I really do have a feeling that Donald Trump is going to go back on some of his key issues, some of the key issues and the topics that he spoke about in his campaign. And I think that's going to tear a lot of his support apart. I do, because remember, folks, at one time, Donald Trump was a Democrat. I was going to say Republican, but he's a Republican now. But at one point in his life, Donald Trump was a Democrat. And a lot of the Republicans felt that he is during the campaign that he was actually a Democrat posing as a Republican. I don't know all the particulars of this, and it really doesn't chime with me too much. But I do know that Rahm Emanuel is out there begging his ass off, do not deport these young people. It's not their fault that their parents brought them here. But this is what his supporters, one of the issues that his supporters, why they voted him in the office in the first place, because he was going to deport all these people, Mexican people who are not citizens. So Rahm Emanuel is going out there bending over backwards, begging and pleading for this not to happen. He's begging and pleading to keep Chicago a sanctuary city, which protects illegal Mexicans in the United States and in Chicago. So he's going out there pleading. You know, he already took $1 million from the taxpayer fund in the city of Chicago and moved it towards the sanctuary cities. I think that's wrong. I mean, you don't take our money and put it where you want it. You have to ask the taxpayers, but he's not going to do that. he's the mayor and he feels that he can do what he wants to do. He can do what he wants without money. And we're not going to say anything. I'm not saying that I disagree or agree with sanctuary cities. I'm just saying when you're handling taxpayer money, you ought to ask them for their approval before you start screwing with their money. Because, you know, that's our money. All right. Okay. So he's begging and all this kind of crap for relief for the sanctuary cities. All right, folks, let's go to the phones. We have a caller. All right, you're on the... Oh, hold on. Hit the wrong button, folks. You're on... Okay, you're... Oh, my God. I cut her off. All right, let's go to a break. We have... Let's see. Any more reviews? All right. Sorry about that. We inadvertently cut the caller off.
So in this video, I'm actually going to talk about how to get more reviews, which is a huge challenge for indie authors, but mostly because they're...
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
Help you God,
so help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. President.
Barack Obama has had a busy first 7 years as president, so in this video, I'm just going to lay out all the things his administration's been able to accomplish.
All right, let's go to the phones. Okay, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Hi.
Go right ahead.
Hi, George. How's it going? It's Leah.
Hi, Leah. Linderman, right?
Yes, that's right.
Thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for doing the show. And you sound so bright and you sound like you're ready to go at it. Okay, give us a bio. give me, my audience, a small bio. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Sure. So I'm an author and I'm also a mother of three children. I'm married and I live in the country. I started writing, actually, even before I got to started writing, my dream was to be a cardiothoracic surgeon. And so all throughout high school, I was really aiming for that. But then I kind of had a change of heart around 16 and I started writing poetry and I got into writing. So I started taking writing correspondence courses and then I just realized that that's what I was meant to do. So it was a very drastic change of plans concerning my future. And but it's great. I'm loving it.
Oh, great. Sounds great. Sounds good. So therefore you've put everything else on the back burner and you're focusing on writing right now. So tell us a little bit about the book. I believe it's called, I believe it's called Redeemed from the Ashes.
Yes. So about the book, it's about, and her name is Evelyn Richardson. That's the protagonist. And her husband comes back from World War I and he's been injured. And so when he comes back, the Halifax explosion happens of 1917. And he goes missing. And as a result of his goes missing, she searches for him, but all the evidence points to him not coming back. And so she falls for a man who might be the hope of her future or the destruction of her present.
Wow, that sounds interesting. It sounds intriguing.
I hope so.
So is this your first book or...
It is my first book. I got the idea about 10 years ago. I was on a camping trip with my parents, and my father told me about the Halifax explosion, and I had never heard about it before, and I thought, wow, this sounds like a story that needs to be told. People need to know about this, and so I started doing quite a bit of research, and then once I got into my correspondence course, the last assignment was to do the first three chapters of a novel, and so that's when I decided I'm going to go with this idea, and I did, and it just turned into a novel. I got so inspired and I loved it.
Okay, what do you like best about writing? I mean, if you could tell somebody what is it that you really enjoy about it?
That's a good question. I've actually never been asked that question before, so that's great. The best thing I love about it is reaching a reader that you may know nothing about, and you can reach them with a message that touches their hearts, and you connect with them in that way. I love connecting with people. I love people. And so just to do that with even a complete stranger who picks up my book and reads it and is just encouraged by it, gives me mm-hmm. such joy and pleasure. I mean, I write for myself because I love it, but I also want to write for other people for the purpose of encouraging them, for giving them some great entertainment that they can just sit down and enjoy. And that's, I think that's what I enjoy best about writing.
There are so many people out there like you. You're putting everything on the back burner to focus on your writing career. There are so many people who are like that. I mean, you've got people in high places like doctors, lawyers, you know, social workers, and I can go on and on and on. They're putting their career on the back burner, or they're just quitting their careers altogether to become writers. And why do you think that is? I mean, from your own perspective.
Yeah. From my own perspective, writing is such a freeing movement mm-hmm. from oneself, from inside. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I mean, so many people even are just are at peace when they have a journal that they can write in, and they could just write about their mm-hmm. day and how they feel. And that's something that's really personal, because that's for them, and they don't necessarily have to share that with somebody, but it's just an outlet that they mm-hmm. can that they could really show themselves through that. So there's just such power in the written word, and I think that's why people see that there's just so much substance to it. Now, as for mm-hmm. my dreams of being on the back burner, it's true, definitely I'm not going to go into the medical field right now. I'd definitely like mm-hmm. to do that. Maybe go into nursing, maybe when I'm 40, when all my kids have grown up or something. But definitely right now, having my own family is a big priority for me. And because I'm mm-hmm. married and I have 3 kids. So mm-hmm. just to be able to have something that I love, which is writing, that I can do at home and being with my kids and having my family, that's just such a great joy for me. And then when my kids are gone, then I could go and focus on other dreams and pursuits that I have. But it's definitely... yeah, I think that's why people go for writing. It's so freeing.
Yeah, it is. I'm a writer myself and an author too. I agree with you. I think writing is just awesome. However, you know, there's always that downside to it, that there's so many books or stories that are published each year in the millions. And you look at yourself as a writer and an author, you say you're competing with all of those. Okay. I mean, the book that you've written, there's probably a million books out there similar to what you've written. So how would you make your book stand out from all of those that are similar out there?
That's a good question. I think a lot of research mm-hmm. needs to go into it. For this mm-hmm. particular topic, the Halifax Explosion, there's actually already been a great Canadian classic that's been written on it. It's called Barometer Rising by John McLennan. And I actually read mm-hmm. that in research for my novel. So, but that, most of the novels that center around this topic, they center on the Halifax explosion themselves, like itself, just the first day it happens and the day after and the day before, all around that. Whereas I kind of had my book center on it, but then it also kind of took a look at the reconstruction period of the city afterward, which I looked at a lot of novels that touched on this topic, and they didn't really have that. So I try to find mm-hmm. an angle that not many people have touched on or talked about.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have your book with you now?
Yes, I do.
Can you read us an excerpt, a small excerpt?
Sure. Okay. Like a page would do?
A page would be fine.
Okay. So here, I'm just going to give a little background. Her husband just came back from the war, and she is trying to figure out how they're going to connect because he's very different. He has PTSD in the book, so that causes a mm-hmm. lot of problems. Mm-hmm. All right, so here's the excerpt. Guilt washed over her. A bitterness had settled within the pit of her stomach ever since she realized Carl was not the same man anymore. Only hints of his previous amiable personality would protrude during those times when he left his walls unguarded. But those moments were so few. Perhaps I'm not the same anymore. So many neighbors, friends bore the same despondency she did, yet they were doing so much more to help the war effort, giving their loved ones a greater reason to come back home. Many bought victory bonds, knitted clothing, served overseas as nurses, truck drivers, and so on. She had hardly done anything to help. At the start of the war, she had been involved with many volunteer services. The joy of giving had infected her to the point she had spent most of her days out and about helping in any way she could. She and many other women who sat quilting in a circle on Saturday afternoons would comfort each other with the hope that the war would be over by Christmas, that their men would come home. But Christmas passed, and there was no sign of any immediate withdrawal from Europe. Little by little, she lost any incentive to spend her time giving herself to a seemingly hopeless cause. And then she goes out into the town, and she's mm-hmm. looking for some sort of peace. Reaching the harbor, mm-hmm. she wiped the drying tears from her cheeks. She milled through the small crowd of soldiers that must have been dropped off not more than half an hour ago. Many seemed to have no family or friends to greet them. They were alone, just as she was. Some sat upon benches staring off toward the sea, and others walked off in haphazard directions. One or two actually looked her way and smiled, raising their hands in friendly greeting. She didn't know why. Their kind gestures warmed her heart in a way she couldn't understand. "This is all I was looking for, some human warmth, although a few feet distance away." She wanted to stay, to talk, to sense or fathom she was not the only person in the world who felt day in and day out. But she left knowing dinner would be ready soon. Such a convenient excuse. And that's
sounds great. Okay, that was good. That was great. I was listening attentively. this is your first book. You probably haven't experienced this much, but have you ever experienced writer's block? And if you have, what do you do about it?
Okay, it's really funny. I don't experience writer's block ever. I've never had that problem. My problem is starting every day that blank page on my computer stares at me. I just have mm-hmm. such a hard time typing the first word. But once I do, it all just comes flowing out, and sometimes it's so hard mm-hmm. I can't even stop. So it's really just mm-hmm. typing the first word, and once I do that, then I got it. But I've never experienced writer's block before, so it's kind of strange because a lot of people I know struggle with that. But for me, my struggle is just starting the word.
Yeah, I'm struggling with writer's block because I'm starting a new story and I'm trying to figure out how am I going to do it because I don't want it to sound like something that I've written in the past. I want to make it a little different because every time you write a book or a story, you want to make the current book a little bit better than the past book that you've written in the past. So you want to be better. And yeah, I do experience it, but I don't have it for long. I mean, it's crazy just looking at your computer. It's crazy when you're just looking at a blank piece of paper on your computer and you're just sitting there, you know. And I find that one of the things for me to get rid of writer's block is maybe to take a walk, exercise or something like that, you know, go to the gym or something. And
a really great idea.
Yeah, go to the gym, take a walk or something, a run or whatever, talk to a few friends or something. And then you come back to that computer and like you just said, it just starts to flow. You got one or two pages, it just starts to flow, you know. So that's what it does for me. But I do understand that each writer, they come at writer's block in different directions. No writer is the same. So you know, it goes like that. And okay. Will you be working on the second book?
Actually, this first book is part of a whole series. So the whole series name is Canadian Reminiscence Series. And each book in the series is based in a different province, territory of Canada in a certain historical time period. So none of the characters actually interlap because they're only all mm-hmm. their own stories. Second book is based in... Yeah, the second book is based in British Columbia, and it's during the Caribou mm-hmm. Gold Rush of 1861. So it's going to be a little different because, I mean, there's still going to be drama. The first one was quite a bit of drama. There was some suspense. But the second one is going to be more of a mystery because it involves gold. And usually when you have gold, you have murder, you have, people who are greedy. Yeah. That's right. So I'm working on that. And it's probably going to be first draft. I'm aiming to have it done by March. And then I'd like to put out a book every 2 years. So we'll see.
So basically, So basically, in this series that you're about to produce, each one of these books in this series will be able to stand alone.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
All right.
I do want to do novellas for each novel afterward, just because I kind of like to end on open endings. I really admire that about the writer O. Henry. He's an American writer, and he used a lot of surprise or open endings. So I'm kind of using that with my books. So I'd like to write a novella after every novel, just to kind of really finish, tie off the story. But yes, they are standalones.
Okay. Can you tell our audience, where can we find your book, Redeemed from the Ashes, your latest book? Where can we find it? Where can we go get
sure.
it?
So it's on Amazon.com, on .ca, on all the different Amazons. You can find it on the Barnes & Noble website. You can find it on Kobo, Nook, pretty much every ebook platform that's out there. You can find it on iBooks as well. And then, yeah, and then if they want any more, like, updates, news, they can go on my website, which is lealindeman.wordpress.com. And that's pretty much where all the news is. My blog is there. Yeah, anything pertaining to the book and my writer career is all on that website.
Wow, you're off to the races. Author Leah Linderman on the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I wish you all the success in the world. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, that was author Leah Linderman on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Wow, what a great person. We will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. All righty, let's see if we can. Okay, let's try this one here.
President Obama has failed Black people.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
All right, let's go back. We were talking about Illinois politicians, but first we're going to do this, if we can find it. Can we find that? Let's see, a drum roll. Maybe can we get a drum roll on the George Wilder Jr. Show? All righty, sounds good. Let's get this introduction going.
This is Chicago's finest internet radio show, making a world a better place, one show at a time. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. Take it away, Dad.
Thank you.
my son has been arrested for walking while black.
A lot of sons have been arrested.
Yeah, I get it. It doesn't make me, you know, you can't buy your way out of this one. You can't educate your way out of it.
It's happening too much, or at least we know about it now.
It's always happened. We see more evidence of it. And too often people still are inclined to say, well, if he'd had a different attitude, well, if he hadn't been driving, well, if he hadn't been this, if he hadn't been that, almost as if the victim is partially to blame. You know, in the case of Garner, well, he shouldn't have resisted. In the case of Brown, well, where was he? In the case of Trayvon, well, he had a hood on, you know, and in the case of whoever, you know, in case of Sandra Bland, you know, well, her attitude was bad. It's like, no, stop. Stop. This has nothing to do with the victims. This has everything to do with the culture of demeaning a person of color. And there is no justification for society where my son has a far greater chance of being stopped, held, killed than your son, simply because he's black.
All righty. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. That was Brian Gumbel. Just about everybody, I believe, have probably heard this. President-elect Donald Trump has been named Person of the Year by Time Magazine. He's sitting in a chair and he's looking around at the camera. Yeah, Donald Trump. A lot of people are saying he doesn't deserve it. A lot of people saying that he shouldn't be the Person of the Year on the cover of that magazine, that particular magazine. but Time is defending it and saying that, I kind of agree with them that it's the sign of the times. I kind of agree with them on that. I mean, the guy won the election. I mean, hey, wow. Whether you love him, you hate him, you don't think, some people are saying that was rigged. Just like he was saying so many times during his campaign that it was rigged. A rigged election where he won, right? Where he came out the winner. Anyway, Donald Trump named Person of the Year on Times Magazine. What can I say? More power to Time Magazine and Donald Trump. And it's good that some of these people have stopped some of these recounts in some of these states. It's just ridiculous. The man won the electoral vote. Hillary Clinton, she landslided his ass in the popular vote, but that didn't count. I don't know why where the hell they get this electoral college vote from. I don't know. 270. I don't know. It's ridiculous and it should stop. But I'm pretty sure the Republicans love the electoral college votes while the Democrats hate it, right? You know why they hate it? Because it went against them. Okay. If it had gone for Hillary, they'd love it. But it went against him. And if it had gone for Hillary, then you would have the Republicans screaming that they hate the electoral vote, but it was in their favor. Anyway, he's on the cover of Time Magazine, Donald Trump, and he's the president of the United States. A lot of people out there are saying, well, he's not my president. Yeah, I didn't vote for him. He's not my president. And, he's getting calls from other politicians from all around America. A lot of them, like Mary Emanuel, are pleading for him not to do this and not to do that, especially when it comes to illegal aliens, illegal Mexicans, the Dreamers, the sanctuary cities, which he said he was going to get rid of. We'll just have to see what's going to happen when he is sworn into office. I believe it's going to be January 22nd, 2017. Yeah, we're going to have a new president. Obama would be out the door. Out the door, folks. Okay. And some people are very, very happy at that. And Obama, I believe, not Obama, but Donald Trump, I believe, said that he's found a new perspective for Obama. My thinking is they're friends now, okay? They're not going at each other's throat. Well, you know, I mean, you know, it's over. You know, the election is over. It's all totally over. So it's time to shake hands and be, you know, cordial, I think, you know, anyway. Okay, but there's no doubt about it. America is totally, totally divided. We are a divided country. Trump said earlier that it wasn't his fault that it's divided. I think it is. It wasn't as divided when he was not running for office. I think it's divided because of him. But, you know Trump. He's going to deny everything. He's going to lie about everything. That's one of the things that we know about Donald Trump. We know what he is. The press has been all through his life during a campaign. So we know what he is. And by that token, we probably will know what to expect from him because we've seen so much of him exposed during the election campaign. So you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank my author, Leah. I want to thank the author, Leah Linderman, for doing the show. She was sweet. She was kind. She was knowledgeable. She's an author. She loves writing. So do I on the George Wilder Jr. Show, because this show is all about one thing, folks, and that's making the world a better place. Obstacles cannot crush me. Every obstacle yields to stern resolve. He who fits to a star does not change his or her mind. 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Happy holidays, folks. But like I've said earlier in this show, be aware of your surroundings. Hate is going around breaking hearts. Hate and racism. We are a country divided. There is no doubt about it. And yeah, I mean, to deny that would be to hide your head in the sand. All righty. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Google. I'm all over the place, everywhere. Wow, I am everywhere,
so
folks.
Democrat. You've been in that party a long time. Answer me. What did you get?
President Obama has failed black people. Now, before I go any further, I want to say that this is not a hate message. I respect the office of the President of the United States, and I love and respect President Barack Obama for being the first African American elected to the presidency. With all that being said, that does not negate my premise that he has failed black people, or should I say African Americans. Let me take y'all back to 2008. He came preaching. He was in the church. Y'all remember, he was going to our neighborhoods. Some of y'all act like y'all don't remember, as if, like, when I come out and I say that President Obama has failed black people, as if I'm the one that's wrong, as if he didn't come making all these promises, hope and change, and 7 years, 7.5 years later, we are still in the same situation that we was in before we elected him. We went out and canvassed. Oh, God, we canvassed. We marched. We donated our little pennies to his campaign. We elected him. African Americans elected him president to represent our problems. And our problems are still the same in our neighborhoods today. Now, every black person that listens to this is going to, you know, because, you know, he has high approval ratings still to this day among African Americans. And you have to ask yourself, are these people blind? Like, do they have some kind of like problem that we don't, that us awakened blacks or us, the rest of America just don't have? Because I think we all obviously see that the black community is struggling under this president and under his policies. Let me prove this.
So you Democrats, you've been in that party a long time. Answer me. What did you get? You got a president. He's worried about his legacy.
You got now, now.
You want Hillary to get in to protect your legacy because Trump said the minute he get in, he's going to reverse the Affordable Care Act. Because that's your signature achievement. To show you how hateful the enemy is, he hates that you achieved what you did achieve. So he said, I'm going to tear it up when I get in. So he don't want his legacy destroyed. Mr. President, let the man do if he get in what he want. Because he's not destroying your legacy. If your legacy is bound up in an Affordable Care Act that only affects a few million people and they're trying to make it really difficult for those of us who signed up, that's not your legacy. But I just want to tell you, Mr. President, you from Chicago and so am I. I go out in the street with the people. I visited the worst neighborhoods. I talked to the gangs. And while I was out there talking to them, they said, you know, Farrakhan, the president ain't never come. Could you get him to come and look after us? There's your legacy, Mr. President. It's in the street with your suffering people, Mr. President. And if you can't go and see about them, then don't worry about your legacy. Because the white people that you've served so well, they'll preserve your legacy. The hell they will. But you didn't earn your legacy with us.
That there's just too little love. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone.
Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb.
Enough to cross,
enough to last,
enough to last till the end of time.
What the
world needs now, love, sweet love.
It's the only thing that there's just too little love.
What the world needs now, love.
The sweet.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
All right. Okay, folks, it's cold outside. There's no doubt about it. It is cold outside. As I've said earlier on the show today, if you're going out there, make sure you bundle up. You don't want to get frostbite. You don't want to get the flu or anything. If you've had your flu shot, you shouldn't worry about it. But you want to still stay safe and cover and bundle up. We have an Arctic blast coming. All weather reports, it's going to get worse. If you're in a country or in a state where this is not happening, then forgive me. But I think the majority of the people in the United States, majority of the states here in America, we are feeling it. Definitely. Definitely. So stay warm. Stay safe. If you're going to go outside, make sure you bundle up. If you're going to be outside, try not to be outside for too long. You know, a lot of us work outside, and that can be troubling, especially in this blastic Arctic cold that's coming. So welcome to Chicago. And so you guys stay safe out there. You know, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making the world a better place one show at a time, one book at a time, one story at a time. Check me out on Amazon.com. I've got a lot of great stuff up there and more stuff coming in the next year. Right. The next year should be exciting because starting in January, especially on January 22nd, Donald Trump will be sworn in as the 45th president of the United States. A lot of people are saying, oh, my God. Then a lot of people are saying, yay, yay, hey, wow, no more Obama, no more Obama. But one of the things that I don't know, but I do know before the election, his approval ratings were very high among African Americans. His approval ratings were very high. I don't know what they are now. I haven't checked them out. I haven't researched them. But I'm like so many others. Why are his approval ratings were so high among African Americans? He's probably wondering it too when he's done exactly nothing for African Americans. I know there's people out there who's going to reject that. I know there's people out there who have their heads in the sand, but it's true. He's done nothing whatsoever for African Americans. Nothing. And if you've been listening to my shows, you know why, you know. And Black leaders, people in some of these communities, African Americans are saying the same thing. Why is his approval rating so high when he's done nothing for African Americans? His approval ratings are high with African Americans. I think I know why. They look at him as being articulate. They look at him as being smart, innovative. They look at him as being creative. They look at him as being the adult in the room, more so than on his accomplishments. And Donald Trump swore to get rid of Obamacare. And Obamacare is Obama's legacy. That is his only significant achievement in 8 years as president. The only thing, and now is being threatened. I'm pretty sure he's kissing a lot of Donald Trump's ass to try to preserve this. But Obamacare is not what is what it's all apt up to be. I thought it was, I mean, when I first heard it, I thought it was going to be something similar to the a single payer. It's nowhere near that. I thought it was going to be something to cause some of these insurance companies not to screw people, you know? And if I can sort of change the subject, I'm hearing now that a lot of the drug companies who make these particular drugs that Americans depend on, even for saving their lives, some of these life-saving drugs are going up. They're increasing in prices. Obamacare, I mean, if you're on that, you've heard the news about how the prices and the cost of Obamacare has skyrocketed. And now, everyday prescription drugs that you that your doctor write a prescription for, they are going up. So much for Obamacare. Remember when Obama was railing against the insurance companies like they were the scum of the earth? Suddenly, Obamacare comes along, and this is a windfall for insurance companies to screw you. To, you know, it's profitable in being sick. You're dying. They're making money off you dying. They're making lots of money off you being sick. You have cancer. They're making money off it because you're going to have drugs. You're going to have treatment. You got diabetes. They're going to try and keep you on insulin. And they want you to, you know, any kind of sickness that you have where you need drugs to sort of keep you alive, these people are making lots of money off of that. In Canada, north of us, Canada, you don't have to have any of this crap. You don't pay for medical care, health care in Canada. It's free. It's a scam in the United States. It's a total scam. It's, it's a shame that seniors, the elderly people are going to be dying because they won't be able to afford their medicine. It's a shame that they're going to be dying because they can't afford their medicine because of these high-ass prices coming from Obamacare and prescription drugs in general. Why do you think these doctors always giving you appointments, scheduling you to come back to the doctor's office every other month? Because they know that they can charge your insurance company, and that's money in their pocket. You may not even need all those damn appointments, but they're going to give you those appointments because they're making money off those appointments. Because when you go to those appointments, you know, the minute you walk into the doctor's office, they're charging you. I mean, if you're sitting down in the waiting room, you're being charged. You know, it's all about money. And then they get you back in one of those rooms back there, those examining rooms. And the first thing they're going to do is tell you what you need, right? This prescription for you and giving you an appointment to come back. All of that's money. That's money in their pocket. A lot of that is totally unnecessary. It's just that the medical industry is profitable. You know, it's all about money. It's all about screwing you and money. If you don't have it, then you die. You know, if you can't afford that high-ass medicine that you used to be able to afford, now it's gone up, now it has increased, you can't afford it, you die. You know, and they get away with that. They get away with that. You know, so Obamacare has been a failure, in my estimation. It has been a big, huge failure, and it's been a great windfall for the insurance companies. And some of these exchanges have opted out of Obamacare, making it even harder to get the drugs that you need, life-saving drugs that you need. There's no regulation over raising these prices. They can, especially if some of these companies are monopolies. Even if they're not, drug costs are going through the roof. They're going through the roof. We're going to talk more about this on tomorrow's show, folks, because this is very, very important. Very, very important. Something else has been thrown across my desk. Michelle Obama says she fell asleep on election night. I'm pretty sure there's a lot of more details to this, but this one headline is just baffling. She says she fell asleep on election night. Is that the reason why Obama and Hillary Clinton lost this thing? Because she fell asleep. She fell asleep and she woke up and Donald Trump was president. That's funny. She fell asleep. Maybe if she'd have stayed up, maybe if she hadn't fell asleep, we would have Hillary Clinton in office, therefore equaling an Obama third term, because she would have preserved his American Care Act, Obamacare. But I never wanted a third term of Obama. I didn't want a third term of Obama, and I didn't want Donald Trump either. But I picked Clinton over Donald Trump because she seemed more presidential, basically. But she lost. But I'm hearing that she actually won. And there have been recounts going on in some states, but she's not saying anything about a recount. She's not saying anything whatsoever. So she's taking her loss in stride. And you know what? I respect her in that. I respect her for that. I truly, truly, I respect her for that. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, it's cold out there. I've been saying this all day. I'll say it all day tomorrow when we're on tomorrow. Arctic cold blasts around the United States. It's all over the place. And actually, this is December 7th, folks. This is the day that we'll live in infamy. This is the day that Pearl Harbor was bombed. And they're celebrating this day. A lot of the old veterans of that time period. And they're quickly dying off because they're in their 80s, they're in their 90s, some approaching 100. You know, but there's still a few of them around. And all around America, they're celebrating Pearl Harbor Day on that day that the base in Hawaii, Pearl Harbor, was bombed by Japanese planes, as you probably know. Maybe you know better than I do. But anyway, my hat goes off to all of those veterans who were a part of that, whether they're still here or they're gone. I salute each and every one of them for fighting back. And congratulations to those soldiers. I'm pretty sure each and every one of them have been honored by the White House, President Obama and his White House. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Christmas is totally, totally approaching quickly. And we're going to do the new year. The new year is coming up, 2017. What is the new year? What does it say for you? What? The new year? New Year resolutions, and it's the year that everybody's going to be getting a year older. I mean, if you're my age, you don't want to see another year added onto your current birthday. But it's going to happen. It always happened. It's been happening for quite a while. All right, 347-857-1762. You've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of the city of Chicago. Mm-hmm. You can always find me on Facebook. I'm on Amazon too, you know, so if you have a page on Amazon, I guess you can count that too as being all over the internet. Google, I'm all over. Like I said before, I'm not that hard to find, you know. I understand that there's a lot of competition out there. And another thing I want to do, I want to thank my guest, Leah Linderman, for being on the George Wilder Jr. Show. We always have authors on the show, writers. This is a variety show. We talk about a number of subjects. I know I have politics down here for the category, but basically it's about anything that's interesting that can help the world to be a better place. That's all it's about, helping the world to be a better place. Even if I'm saying dress properly, bundle up when you go out here in this harsh weather, that's a sign of making the world a better place also. And that's a sign of making the world a better place also. Keep yourself safe. This is the holiday season. The bad guys are out there. Be aware of your surroundings.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
The national news is reporting that suspects and criminals can break into your car without using keys. Yeah, they can break into your cars without using a key or automatic door opener or anything. They can get into your car. I got to get some more information on that because this was just thrown across my desk and we're just about off the air, but that is shocking. They don't need a key. I'm hearing that it some kind of device that they have on them where they can stand right next to you. And somehow, by standing next to you, this device that they have on them, the criminals, can cipher information about your key. And they just walk up to your car, stand next to it, and I guess press something, and it opens. And this device can work on several other cars, not even the same make. So this is scary. This is scary. I mean, you know, and the manufacturers are working diligently on trying to solve this problem. Wow. I mean, if you think about it, so many cars, 2016, 2017, so many cars are computerized. Everything is computerized. Your doors, everything on the car is computerized. And if it's computerized, it can be hacked and broken into. You got some bad guys out there that can take over your car while you're actually driving it. They can take over and drive your car. They can may even cause a crash, cause you to crash in terms of you are no longer in control of that vehicle. All of this is just scary, folks, but this is the world we live in. And the show is just about over. And thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for podcasting. Thanks to my guest, Leah Linderman, for being such a great and wonderful guest on my show. We will be back tomorrow, Thursday. And same thing, do it all over again. We like, as I've said before, folks, we have some wonderful guests the rest of the month, December, and starting January is almost filled up, or just about filled up. So we should have some interesting people coming on the show from now to the end of January, the new year. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We are just about off the air. We are off the air, come to think of it. So I hope you guys join me tomorrow. It's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. I'm going to have more things to share with you. Join me tomorrow, starting p.m. to 7:30 p.m. if not more. All right, bye-bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
what the fuck I'm doing. Messed up.